Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Web Sleuths Radio on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Tricia Griffith. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And we have a very, very interesting and unusual show tonight. But first of all, I'd like to tell you that, in case you've forgotten, I think this is very important, Web Sleuths Radio is the only truly gluten-free radio show on the planet. Kim Sir is here, our executive producer and keeper of all the stuff that I can't deal with. She is here with us, and it's time now for all the legal stuff. The opinions expressed on this show are those of the guests and the host, and I take no responsibility for them, especially my own. Web Sleuths Radio is not the same as WebSleuths.com, which is a completely different corporate entity. Cheryl McCollum is with us from Cold Case Investigative Institute, and Cheryl is going to join us for our first case, and then later when we discuss Trayvon Martin, she'll weigh in on her thoughts and ideas. We all love Cheryl. We've watched her for years, and we know she's an amazing woman. And joining us as well will be Lynn Jones. Her husband, Stephen, vanished into thin air a few weeks ago. Now, what makes this case even more disturbing is Stephen had been involved in a vicious posting war on the Topics forums about his son's death in 2000. You're familiar with Topics, T-O-P-I-X. Anyway, we're wondering, is this what led to his disappearance? We'll try and figure it all out right now. In 2000, Stephen Jones appeared to shoot himself with an overdose of meth. At least that's what the autopsy suggested. However, his father, Stephen Jones, and his stepmother, Lynn, believe there is much more to this story. It does look like someone else gave Steve the meth. There's only one puncture wound, but the puncture wound is not in the proper arm, meaning if Stephen was right-handed, it should have been in the left arm, and it wasn't. Perhaps it's the other way around, but I think you get the picture. This case is huge. There is so much to learn and so much to comprehend about this case that it's too much to go into tonight, the actual death of Stephen Jones in 2000. What I would like you to do is go to forumsforjustice.org/forums and look at Cold Cases Not Forgotten, and you will see the title of Stephen Curtis Jones, and you can read all about the case there. But it's what happened after that we're going to be discussing tonight. Now, as a parent, you can understand the anger you would feel if you believed your son had been murdered and the case not properly investigated. Well, that's how Stephen Jones has felt, along with Lynn Jones. Stephen and Lynn posted on Forums for Justice about their son's case. In the beginning, when they came on, it was a little rough because, as many of you know, we do have rules about posting, and we don't like these forum wars and insults being thrown back and forth because it's counterproductive. So anyway, they eventually settled down, and they began posting, but Stephen understandably wanted more and needed more. So he started posting on Topics, and we've all had problems with Topics. There was, in fact, a case I had to fly to L.A. to testify in that had to do with somebody posting on Topics and threatening a policewoman. So Topics has no moderation to speak of whatsoever. Now, I'm going to read you some of the posts that were directed to Stephen Jones. Remember, Stephen is on there talking about his son who he believed was murdered. Other people don't think he was. It's a very, very interesting and lots of information in this case. But what we're talking about now is the disappearance of Stephen Jones. And these are some of the things that were posted to Stephen on Topics. You need to blame yourself for your son's death and no one else. It's now time for me to deal with you and your foul mouth with any means necessary. Paths will cross soon. You must have a death wish. Do the world a favor and off yourself. Here's another one. When they won't listen to his whining and unfounded information, he throws a tantrum and starts talking shit about him. I hear woundies fixing to be taught a lesson by a few. His name on the forum, by the way, was Wounded because he was so wounded by the death of his son. So that's why they call him Woundy. And then here's another one. I'm just going to read this one last one. You bastard of a loser. LJ will make you squeal like the pig you are. Oink, oink. Now you can understand why we have very, very strict moderation on web sleuths. Joining us right now is Lynn Jones. Lynn, are you there, my dear?
Yes.
Now, Lynn, let's back up a little bit. When exactly did your husband, Stephen, go missing? Take us back to that day and tell us what happened.
Well, it was an uneventful day. My son was on spring break. He had several friends over, and they split up and went different directions. They would do all of them, all four of them, due back later that evening. Steve had piddled in the yard. He's a disabled man. He didn't go out and just work like a horse. He takes his breaks periodically and tries to do things right so he doesn't have problems with his disabilities. Right at 7 o'clock, he walked in the door, and he told me, "Oh, I'm hungry." I was in the process of cooking supper and just kind of had it on hold, waiting on him to come in. And I told him that there was a good movie fixing to come on. It was right at 7 o'clock. And he said, "Well, I won't be gone just 15 minutes. I'm going to go take a ride and cool off." He had been working in his little garden back here. God love him. I know this is irrelevant, but it says a lot about Steve.
Excuse me, Lynn. Lynn, yes. Lynn, can you please speak up as loud as you can for us, okay?
I realize this may be a little irrelevant, but it shows everyone just what kind of man he was. His tiller was broken, so he had been out working in the garden with a pickaxe and a hoe.
Oh, wow.
he's a determined man, I tell you what. Well, like I said, he had come in and told me all of that, and then he went out the door, and he come right back in. He's kind of a cooler-natured fella, and him being sweaty, he thought, well, if I get on the motorcycle and get out there doing 45, 50 mile an hour, I'm going to cool down too quick. So he got a flannel shirt, and out the door he went. I heard the bike crank up, and he went out the gate. I have not seen or heard hide nor hair of him since.
Now, when you say bike, you're talking about a motorcycle, right?
Yes, ma'am. He had an 83 Honda Shadow.
Okay. And, okay, so it wasn't was it a big motorcycle, little motorcycle?
Oh, no, ma'am. It was a 500, I believe.
Okay. Now,
a VT500, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so he doesn't come back. What type of roads are in the area? Are there many places where perhaps he could go off and have an accident and perhaps he'd be difficult to see? Is that a possibility?
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. Absolutely.
And so how deeply have you searched those areas?
That evening, I first went searching for him, thinking, of course, oh, well, the motorcycle has broken down, and he's pushing it home. That was
mm-hmm.
his baby. He just he would not have left it on the side of the road. Anyway, I went searching for him, drove a couple of the little paths, the little trails that I know he and our son drive all the time. Had no luck. I came back home, and a friend of mine came over, and she and I left out again to go look. Well, we drove a few longer paths that I know he takes that still wouldn't take maybe 15, 20, 25 minutes at the most to make the round trip. She and I had no luck finding him either. We got back home about 10:30, and I had already called the sheriff's department and asked them if they had any wrecks, God forbid, if they had him in jail. They said no, and so I called both of our local hospitals and inquired as to if there had been a motorcycle accident victim brought in, and they both told me no. So at 10:30, when my friend and I got back from searching, I called Bowie County, that's our sheriff's department here, and had them send officers out. Two officers came, and while they did not do the whole full-blown missing persons packet, it was much too soon for that, I guess,
mm-hmm.
They took all sorts of notes about the bike and Steve and what he was wearing, and they had the game wardens out by a lake near us on the lookout for him as well. No, nothing from them all night. Of course, I didn't sleep a wink, so at about 6 o'clock, I called the sheriff's department back because I knew they would be switching. Well, as a matter of fact, let me say, one of the officers from the evening before even called me that morning.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent an officer out here with the missing person packet at, I'd say, about 6:30 that next morning. We were filling that out. On Sunday, they at a local volunteer fire department, they had a command post set up, and they looked, had the helicopter up, no sign of him. And, of course, the vegetation wasn't nearly as thick 4 weeks ago, Friday, as it is now around
mm-hmm.
here. They found nothing. They had four-wheelers, horseback. And, of course, there were family members and friends and folks that know us out looking as well, just walking the sides of the road where you couldn't really see in the ditches and all. We live in kind of a little bit of a rural farm market road type place.
Mm-hmm.
Then, let's see, the following weekend on Saturday, they had another search. But at that point, they, for whatever reason, wanted to keep it to just like law enforcement and, I guess, folks of that nature,
mm-hmm.
Volunteer fire department, things like that. We have wanted them to maybe try to see if a place called EquiSearch.
EquiSearch, yes. We're EquiSearch. Very familiar with EquiSearch, yes.
I was then, and I still wish that they would allow them to come in and help us. At this point, they don't feel as if they have a point A to tell them to start looking from.
Well, okay. Let me stop you right there, Lynn. This, unfortunately, is not an uncommon problem where law enforcement doesn't want somebody else coming in. If they could bring Texas EquiSearch in, I'm telling you, they are some of the best. But unfortunately, they have to be invited by law enforcement. Now, I cannot speak for Tim Miller, the head of Texas EquiSearch, but I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, perhaps people in the chat room, they don't necessarily need a point to start from. They just need an area to start looking in, if I understand correctly. But that's a whole other situation that maybe we can help you with, Lynn, on that area. But let me ask you something.
Sure.
Do you feel that these vegetative areas have been searched enough to where you feel that you would have found something if he would have been there?
I don't really know, Tricia. I'm just.
It's, I know, it's hard to say, and I know it just must be hell what you're going through. Let me switch topics here for just a minute. Speaking of topics, now, Lynn, you were aware of the horrible back and forth that was going on at the topics forum with Steven, right? Or was this okay? And we both know, understandably, he could be very emotional. And I get it. I don't know what he has been through and what you have been through. You both have handled yourself tremendously well. But when and he went by wounded on the forums. You gave him what?
I gave him that name.
That is a perfect name because and you are she wounded because
yes,
both
ma'am.
Of you are so wounded in your heart and soul by what has happened to your son and the ensuing whirlwind of, pardon my French, crap around the investigation of the death of your son. Like I said, that's a whole other, you know, show that we could do once a day for 3 hours a day and still never cover everything. But your husband got into this war of words, and it was very ugly. I just gave you a small sample. There's a lot more, and it's very, very ugly. Let me ask you, Lynn, in your heart, do you think that something has happened to your husband because of all of this swirling around his belief that his son was murdered?
Teresa, that is really a hard question for me to answer. It would depend on exactly what kind of, what time of the day you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Because one minute I have every hope that at the very least, Steve will be found and brought home, even if we have to make arrangements and bury my husband. I need that, if nothing else. But I surely cannot ever let it get far from the front of my mind that, yes, it is very possible that someone from even way back 10 years ago, 12 years ago, could have possibly done something to my husband. He has made his enemies in the drug world and the low-life street people, and he has also made his enemies in, let's say, the powers that be, law enforcement. He's seen a judge put out of office, forced to resign in lieu of disciplinary action, is what the words from the State Commission on Judicial Conduct. He has been very instrumental in causing people to lose their positions and not be elected, not be reelected.
And this all has to do with the investigation of your son's death and the mistakes that were made. Not just the mistakes, but there were obvious cover-ups, if you will, and obvious things done that were not proper, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
It's all tied together to this.
More recently, and I would say, and stemming from all that way back when, he has become kind of a little advocate toward the nasty things that go on in our county that just really shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
People either turn their blind eye or it's never addressed to begin with.
So in other words, he overturned a rock and saw a whole bunch of other stuff that shouldn't be going on. I understand.
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
and he has, due to that, he has made enemies in our local DA's office, in our local sheriff's department. And now, mind you, I'm not trying to say anything negative about them. I appreciate everything they're doing for me. But like I put it to the lead detective of Steve's case, I mean no disrespect, but he's not home. It's just not enough. We've got to keep looking until he's found.
Let me ask you a couple of things that some of our – we have a chat room going that you can't see that I can. And we have some questions, and these are just kind of technical questions. Then I'm going to bring Cheryl McCollum in and ask her opinion, and maybe we can come up with some ideas to help you, Lynn. We're talking with Lynn Jones. Her husband, Stephen Jones, went missing about 4 weeks ago, just vanished literally off the face of the earth. And Stephen had made a lot of enemies due to the death of his son in 2000 and the subsequent uncovering of all kinds of, I'm quite sure how to put it, uncoverings of things that were not quite right, and apparently has made a lot of enemies. So we're not sure if there was an accident or if one of these people took action. But anyway, that's who we're talking with and what we're talking about. We have a question about the color of the bike, and do you have a license number for it? Do you have that handy?
Yes, ma'am. The color of the bike is a purplish maroon.
Mm-hmm.
It's the factory color that would have come on an 83 Honda Shadow, that purple maroon. And I'm sorry, but I would have to put this phone down for a second to get the tag number, but it's right there.
Okay, go ahead and put the phone down. I can sing and dance and do all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Go ahead. Just go ahead. Take your time. And one thing, Cheryl, I'm going to ask you later on is what she can do. It kind of sounds like law enforcement isn't perhaps taking it as seriously as maybe they should. And you might have some suggestions since you deal with law enforcement, and it can be a touchy subject.
No, I can tell her exactly what she needs to do.
Okay, good. Well,
in my opinion.
Hold that thought. Okay, Lynn, go ahead.
Okay, let's see. As a matter of fact, do you mind? Do we have time for me to just read the description? Because
Please do.
Okay, it's a 1983 Honda VT500 motorcycle, purple or burgundy in color, with Texas tag, 4, E as in Earl, U as in Universe, 839. Mr. Jones's motorcycle has a prescription pill bottle for a cover on the left turn signal. The fuel tank has road rash on it. The pipes are black and rusted. Front fender has a dent in it that looks like a hoof print, and it has an army green tote bag on the back behind the seat. That's a description given by my 12-year-old son.
Okay, well, that pretty much describes it. Now, was he on any sort of medication? Was he ill in any way?
Yes, ma'am. Steve is a disabled man. He has a neurological disorder.
Mm-hmm. Could something have happened while he was driving related to his disorder?
Well, Tricia, I'm sure not going to say, oh, no, it couldn't have, because I would have no way of saying that for sure. But I can tell you this. He has been doing so well on the medication that he has now. He goes to the VA hospital in Little Rock, Arkansas, and he has seen neurologists for years and years and years, and they have done so good with him. Not that he's all better, but the medication they have him on now, he has done so well that they have cut him loose, and he only goes to his regular doctor, and he provides him his medication. And, of course, if there's ever a problem, it's discussed with his regular doctor goes to the neurologist.
Right.
So he's doing much better in that aspect. And like I said earlier, he knows that rest and eating properly and all of that plays a very major role in his disability. So he takes very good care of himself.
Good. So you would not rule it out, but it's not something that you would say, oh, my gosh, this is what happened, since he was doing so well. Lynn, I'm going to bring in Cheryl McCollum, and she is a truly wonderful woman at heart, in addition to being a brilliant woman who has worked with law enforcement and has worked cold cases, and we have followed her for years in the true crime community. And Cheryl, you, while Lynn was getting the license plate number, you have some suggestions for Lynn that perhaps
sure.
she could do. So why don't I'm going to just give the floor over to you.
All right. Well, first of all, I mean, Lynn, I am so sorry for everything that you are going through and what you've already gone through. It's just horrible. But
Thanks.
This is my suggestion for you. He said to you he was going to be gone about 15 minutes. That means left or right out of your driveway, you're talking 8 miles. He was going to come back. So
yeah.
I would give yourself a window in a span of 10 miles in either direction. You need to make a plea in your local paper for all your teenagers that have four-wheelers, your joggers, your bikers, the people that take walks, the farmers. They need to start searching that land. If this was an accident where he went off the road, he could be off the road 30 feet. And he could be another 10 feet or more from that bike, easy. He could have hit a patch of, you know, oil on a turn and be so deep into the brush they can't see him. And when you're talking about rural areas, sometimes people don't notice things that they might have noticed in a city, for example. There may be no skid marks because he didn't brake. It could be a straight accident. What concerns me a little bit is, of course, the conversation he had with these people online. But that means that people online would have to know exactly where he lived. They would have to have a way to kidnap him and take the bike.
Right.
Nobody's been ransomed. You know, nobody's asking for anything. I don't know if there's been any follow-up to look at topics to see if anybody came back and said, hey, we got him. We shut his mouth. But I'm pretty sure that probably hasn't happened. So I would beg for people to search their own farmland, even if it's maybe even outside the 10 mile, go 15, and just ask them to search as close to the road as they feel comfortable doing. That'd be the first thing. The other thing that I would ask you is, how far are you to the next county?
Oh, gosh, not far at all.
Then I would check with them. Because, see, you've only checked with your county. He may be in the other county.
That,
and if he didn't have his...
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. But if he didn't have his wallet with him or
he
something
did.
Like that, Oh, he did. Okay.
Yes,
I'm telling you, then I would go back and I would do what, again, Tim Miller and EcuSearch does better than anybody else. But if you can't get them, then I would make a plea to the public for them to help you do that. Literally shoulder to shoulder, you know, because it's private land. You don't need law enforcement permission. It's my land. I'm going to check it. Because if the bike was there and it ran out of gas, nobody even knows it's there, and you're not going to know till winter.
And here's the thing. If that's fabulous advice, Cheryl. That's absolutely perfect. What
yes,
Cheryl is talking
you.
About is a grid walk, and that's where you lock arms with a whole big line of people, and you walk slowly together, and you literally search every inch of that property. Now, what type of – there's two things. And, Cheryl, you brought up something very interesting, too, about checking on topics. I don't think we can rule that out either. I do think the first thing we need to do is look for it, is look for the bike and perhaps look at it that way. But we also need to kind of have a second almost investigation going on to kind
of
check. Yeah,
you run a parallel. Yeah, parallel investigation. You don't rule anything out,
right.
Like Lynn said, until he's home. But I'm just saying at this point, you know, you're going to do what's closest to your backyard first.
Absolutely. Lynn, go ahead. You're going to say something.
In all fairness, I have to say it's my understanding that the Sheriff's Department, the lead investigator, and another detective that's working on this case, they are going and doing other things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the sheriff has said in the newspaper that they seriously suspect that Steve has had a motorcycle accident and has just gone so far out into the foliage that he hasn't been found yet. Well, to
Lynn,
me,
can
that
I tell
would
you
be
a story?
Yeah.
If you remember the Chandra Levy case, the intern that disappeared in Washington, D.C.,
yes,
she was literally found down an embankment, not even 20 feet off the path. They had searched that same area 9 times.
Right.
And so sometimes, literally, you can be right there, but they can't see you for whatever reason. And even though it's a motorcycle and a grown man, they literally may not can see him. The other issue, when you have a rural area, heaven forbid he's out there. But if he's decomposing and people smell it, people ignore that all the time because of deer and possum and other animals. So they might have smelled it and ignored it.
Well, here's that's absolutely right. And I think Cheryl offers up some great advice. And my question to you, Lynn, is do you have people helping you? Do you have people that can be there? Because you can't do it all. I mean, I'm sure that you have trouble getting up in the morning, and we understand that. Do you have people there that can say, okay, Lynn, I'm going to take this thing, and I'm going to work on a press release here, and I'm going to have someone check on topics, and we're going to see if we can get locals to help us search. Do you have people there that can help you organize?
Yes, ma'am. I have a most awesome support system, as you well know, Tricia. One of those has hooked me up with you here tonight.
Yes, JC is amazing. An amazing poster.
I wish everybody in this world could have a friend like her. She's awesome.
Well, what I would like to see happen is to see what Cheryl has suggested kind of be put into action. I'm sorry, you were going to say something. Go ahead, Lynn.
Yes, and Steve also has he has three sisters, and his father is still living, and he has a stepmother. One of his sisters is here in town. One is in Florida, and one is in Waco, and his father is up near Alma, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, his sister here and her husband, and like I said, we've just got an awesome, awesome support system. I've said this several times since all of this has been happening. I've never felt more loved and more empty all at the same time. It is such a surreal feeling that I can't put it into words. I just don't have them in me.
Lynn, tell me where you live.
I'm in Texarkana, Texas.
Okay.
We live in a little community called Liberty Isle.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's a big enough community that we have our own school system and the whole nine yards.
Right.
But it's not actually a city.
No, I just want to know. I'll see what we can do from this end, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Cheryl, that would be so wonderful. In fact,
sure.
Cheryl, what I'll do is I will give you Lynn's phone number, Lynn, if that's
perfect.
Okay. And
oh,
then,
fine.
And then we can go that way. Lynn, do you have a Facebook page or anything set up yet for this?
Well, I tell you, his sister in Florida has set up a website.
Okay. What?
I'm sorry. I'm lying to you.
Okay.
He has set up an email account.
Okay.
And just one second, and I'll give you that.
Yes, let's get that.
I don't know why I hadn't already thought of it. Okay, it is findstevejones@yahoo.com.
Okay,
and,
now that's an email for people to email you questions or things like that, right?
Well, that would go straight to his sister in Florida. I do not have access to that email address, but
mm-hmm.
she set that up because, you know, for whatever reason, there are a lot of people in this world that just don't want to go to law enforcement for any
right.
reason.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we might get something there, maybe. There has also been a reward offered for information leading to the arrest and prosecution of anything to do with Steve's disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
It is at our local Wells Fargo Bank. I guess I need to get myself an email address set up. I don't know. Could Tricia, if I get one set up, could I get it to you? Maybe you'd give it to them tomorrow or next week? Or?
Well, absolutely. I think the best thing, if I may make a suggestion, would be a Facebook page. Are you familiar with Facebook and how that works?
I have a 12-year-old son, and he could definitely get me started.
I would call the Facebook page Find Steve Jones. And
right.
then what you can do on that Facebook page, Lynn, is post updates, post, you know, I need help with this. You can come to me and say, hey, we have a new post on the Facebook page. I can get it out to thousands of people, and they can get it out to thousands of people, and we can rally around you. It's important to have a central point on the internet where people can go for information and where they can go to offer you help. So why don't you talk to him tonight, and I'll talk to JC too, and maybe she can help you. And let's get a Facebook page set up. It's all free, won't cost you anything. And
right.
that way we can all rally around you. Kim, our executive producer, Kim, you wanted to say something.
Yes, Steely Dan mentioned something, and I know I've heard this from law enforcement before, so it's definitely worth letting you know about, Lynn. And that is, don't forget to ask about the bike sale, or he said, check about the bike sale locally or on the internet. There's local magazines for auto and bike sales in almost every area. There's Craigslist and places like that. So be sure to check, because a lot of times these people that are involved in drugs and everything will try to sell these things in order to get more drug money. So,
well,
so check
true.
That out too.
Absolutely. And I would recommend, and if you need help with this, Lynn, you have my number now. You just let me know. We have people that can check topics for you and see what's being said there, you know, just for your peace of mind, if not for no other reason than for that. Cheryl, do you have anything else that you would like to add?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're on the right track. If she can get in a local paper, if she can do the Facebook page and also add the email to the Facebook page, and then any articles that you get in your local paper, put them up and just start the ball rolling. And then once Tricia gets it, I can put it on my page. All the students at the Institute can put it on theirs, and it will just grow exponentially very quickly.
Exactly. And I want you to know, Lynn, there are people all over the world that are listening live now and will listen later when this is put up for them to listen to at their convenience that will want to help you. At the very least, they will say a prayer and keep you in their thoughts. So just know that you're not alone, and we are one big, huge collective community here to help you. The bad guys on topics, they're piddly people. We don't, you know, they're so few and far between, we do our best to ignore them. So, Lynn, do you just let us know what we can do, and I will let you have the last word. Lynn, what would you like to say?
God bless all of y'all, and please pray for my baby to come home okay somehow, some way.
We will, and we are here for you. Okay.
thank you so much. You'll never know what this means to me.
Well, I'll be in touch very shortly, if not tonight, then tomorrow. And we'll get that Facebook page, and we'll just get things moving for you, okay?
Thank you, Tricia.
Okay. Take care. Thank you, Lynn. You take care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Wow.
That was heartbreaking.
I can't disconnect on my end. Can you disconnect, please? Because I can't see it.
Yes, I did. And also, I want to let everybody know, in case they're trying to find this case in the future, I'm going to, within the next day or so, put this on the front page at www.websleuth.com.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. We'll update it, too, on Forums for Justice. We just have the old postings from Wounded and She Wounded explaining all about their son's case, which in and itself is horrifying. I mean, so many things were done poorly and were done purposely to try and hide the truth, and that's what's so frustrating. And Cheryl, unfortunately, I don't think this is a story that is not that uncommon. It just seems like there are cases that, you know, for whatever reason, just don't get investigated properly.
Well, I mean, you know, it may be that, but sometimes, you know, once law enforcement makes up their mind that it was a motorcycle accident and he's somewhere in the woods, you know, that's just kind of where they hang their hat. So, mm-hmm. you know, again, I don't honestly believe they don't investigate properly. I think sometimes they just maybe don't go the full extent. And a lot of times it's man hours. A lot of times it's money. But more often than not, it's just, that's the way they see it, and that's the way they're going to write it out.
Gotcha. Okay, let me just recap for people. We're talking with Cheryl McCollum. Cheryl, you have seen her on every show that we watch all the time. And Cheryl is from the Cold Case Investigative Institute. Tell us what that is, Cheryl.
Well, it's an institute that has 12 colleges across the country, and each college has their own area of discipline. And we take on actual unsolved homicide cases or missing persons cases, and we investigate each case for approximately a year. We devote that amount of time, whether we actually need that amount or not. But the students, we have about 800, and then we have about 100 and some odd experts that come together and try to come up with a solvability plan on these cases. And we've worked everything from Natalie Holloway to Chandra Levy to the Boston Strangler. Some cases y'all probably have not heard of, like Morris Ford Bridge or, you know, cases that are a little bit maybe not high profile, but certainly need investigating nonetheless.
Well, that sounds fascinating. And I, boy, that would sound like, that makes me want to go back to school.
I tell you, it's such a great, phenomenal group of students because, Tricia, they don't get any credit. It's not mm-hmm. a class. They don't get paid. They don't even get a sweatshirt. They literally volunteer their time. And a lot of our students have kids and full-time jobs and obviously a full school load. So, I mean, I can't brag on them enough. And they've done some phenomenal work.
They
really have.
Do they also look at death row cases?
No, that would be Syracuse or somebody else. I'm not sure who. But
mm-hmm.
I know it's a college. I just can't call them right now. But they do great work, too. I'm sorry, I can't think of their name, but we don't do anything except we try to put them in prison. We don't try to help get them out. But
right.
if they're wrongly accused, that's actually another program.
That's a whole
equally
other...
Equally as important. Yeah, equally
right.
as important. I mean, we want the right guy to be there, not the wrong guy.
Exactly. Well, and speaking of the right guy, wrong guy, this is going to be a long, hot summer, my friends, with the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case, now that he has
yes.
been charged.
Right.
And... I don't even know where to begin, Cheryl. Let me just tell you a little bit about Web Sleuth. I've never seen a case so divisive, ever.
Right.
I don't even know what to say anymore. It's
right.
What irritates me, makes me crazy, are outsiders coming in who
sure.
didn't know the family, don't know George Zimmerman, and they're
right.
stirring up all kinds of trouble. We don't need that. We just need the facts. And
Amen.
Cheryl, maybe you can tell us what we have as cold, hard facts right at this moment.
Okay. I agree with you, first of all, and I've tried to be very public about that. And I have said repeatedly, we have to wait on the science because the science really doesn't have a dog in the fight. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be, you know, a he said, she said, you know, race issue. It's going to be either the evidence is there and it points here or it doesn't. But there's going to be some things, like you said, it's going to be a long, hot summer because it's going to be a fight. And the prosecution, you know, they've got their work cut out for them because they let him go. They gave him back his gun. They said there's not going to be an arrest.
Right.
And that whoever gets this case ultimately is going to have to contend with that. And they said there's visible injury. And they said the back of his jacket was wet with grass on it, which is indicative of what Zimmerman said happened.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some things they're going to have to contend with. But again, what we're looking for is the trajectory of that bullet. Is the entrance wound below the exit wound?
Are
they almost even?
What does that mean?
It would mean that the shooter was below the victim.
Mm-hmm. Beneath
so
him,
if George Zimmerman's on his back and Trayvon
right.
Martin is, in fact, on top of him, pounding his head, then it would be the entrance wound would be below the exit wound.
Mm-hmm.
The injury, the wound on Mr. Martin will also show how close they were. Were they 2 feet away? Was it a contact wound? The other thing it's going to show, Tricia, is where both people were standing, kneeling, laying, scuffling. Because if Mr. Martin is shot point blank in the chest or on his side or in the back, it will show. So keep in mind what we know from the police report is when the law enforcement officers responded, Mr. Martin was face down. How
right,
did he
now,
get there?
Right. Well, and the obvious thing is if he was face down, then he was on top of George Zimmerman and George Zimmerman shot him and then rolled out from under him. I mean, I don't know. That's just one way to look at it.
That's one way to look at it.
Are there any other ways? I mean, I guess anything.
Yeah, he was shot in the back. He was shot in the back. He was running away.
If he was
But again, we don't know that. That's
right.
What I'm telling you. We got to wait on trajectory. We got to wait on the gunshot residue. We've got to wait on ballistics, period. We've got to wait to see about toxicology. We don't know any of these things. So again, take everything else out of it because the science will be able to reconstruct that scene.
So if he was shot in the back, though, wouldn't the police have said you're under arrest? Because that is
they might not have known it then.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, gotcha.
The autopsy would have shown that.
Mm-hmm. That
and I'm not saying that he was. I don't
right.
even want to put that in your mind. I'm saying it will show if that, in fact, is what happened.
Yeah, I was just wondering if he was shot in the back, wouldn't they know it that night? But you're right. You're right. They
not
wouldn't.
Necessarily. And again, even though he's face down, is his head north or south, east or west? I want to know
right.
that. Because,
exactly.
again, if you're on top of me, right, and you fall backwards, allegedly, and
mm-hmm.
I'll roll you, I don't know that you're necessarily going to be on your stomach.
Right. I mean,
just
there's
saying.
There's all kinds of scenarios, you know. If George
right.
Zimmerman was on top of him, he could have shot him and he could have tried to get up and ended up rolling over. I mean,
right.
you know, it's like
I
you said,
will
you
say
don't know.
The police know some things we don't know.
Oh,
that
yeah.
I do believe. And again, you know, when they say, yeah, but paramedics came and, you know, they treated him. If you do the math, they treated him for about 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He
yeah.
wasn't gravely injured. Now, you don't have to be. But the other thing that concerns me a little bit is when Mr. Zimmerman says that Mr. Martin went for his gun. How did Mr. Martin know he had a gun?
Mm-hmm.
Unless he had already interjected a gun into that situation. So
right.
I have a real problem with that. If you have a concealed weapon permit and it's in your waistband, fine. Nobody even needs to know you have a weapon.
Right.
But if Mr. Martin is lunging for that weapon, then you've introduced that weapon into that situation.
Then that weapon is already out, and yeah. And so
that's what I think.
So Martin then, Trayvon Martin, is then in fear of his life, and the stand your ground law would apply to him and not
right.
to George. That,
right.
And therein lies the whole problem, and everybody is getting so emotional and personal about this, And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I go back and forth. Was it racial or wasn't? You know, and I've brought this up before, and I know people hate it when I do, and I'm not going to say it this time. But when he has that one moment where he says under his breath, F and C,
mm-hmm.
I think he says a derogatory racial slur.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it to me. If he doesn't, then I don't think it's a racial issue. If he does, I think it is a racial issue. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I do. And
yeah.
I have a bigger issue, though.
What's that?
If this was a white man, 45, would he have followed him?
No.
So you may not even need his statement to say, you know what, he profiled, right, mm-hmm. wrong, or indifferent. But here's the reality. People profile every day,
mm-hmm.
all day, and some of it is good. You see a nun on the street, you profile that she's a good person,
mm-hmm.
and nobody complains about that.
Right.
But you size up, oh, this is a great individual. So we all do it. If you're single and you go to a bar, you profile. Who looks mm-hmm. married, who doesn't? Who looks like a cheater, who doesn't? Who looks like they have a job and have money, and who doesn't? So it's done all the time. And I hate to say, but it ain't going anywhere.
Right.
So, again, the issue is going to be the science.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about race, and we can get angry, and we can tweet addresses, and we can put bounties on people's heads, but you're missing the bigger point. And the bigger point is when the facts come out, then they will be the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, that's the only truth. Witnesses can lie. The police can lie. The defendant can lie. You know, but the science is not going to lie. Either gunshot residue is there or it's not. It's either on the palm of his hand or it's on the outside of his hand. It's either on his cheek or it's on his shirt or it's not. And that's what we have to wait for.
Here's the question, though, Cheryl, and this mm-hmm. is where race becomes an issue. Let's say the facts are very strong
mm-hmm.
that Trayvon Martin was the aggressor and,
mm-hmm.
and George Zimmerman did nothing wrong. How are we as a nation going to handle that? Are we going to be able to accept it, or are people going to lose it and go crazy? That's the fear. That's the fear. And also the fear is we've seen hardcore science
sure.
get flipped on its ear.
Sure.
You know, and so that's the other. So even if we have something hardcore, that doesn't mean it's a slam dunk, unfortunately.
Well, Tricia, you know, I just see this case differently, and I'll tell you why. I believe that Ms. Fulton is going to accept what is proven for her.
Mm-hmm.
That's all she wants. I do not, in my heart, believe that there is a community, white, black, Hispanic, Pan-Asian, or other, that is going to freak out over the truth. I don't believe that. I think the truth needs to be presented in a logical, you know, calm manner. As the chief of police, you don't just walk up to a dad and go, yeah, there ain't going to be an arrest. I don't know
right.
what that was about, because to me, the investigation wasn't done. The autopsy wasn't even back when he said that.
Mm-hmm.
So time was on his side. And I don't know if he misspoke. I don't know if he just thought, look, it's already open and shut. We already know what happened. I don't know. But, you know, self-defense is just that. It's a defense.
Right.
That means it's a jury issue.
Mm-hmm.
Just like insanity. It's a defense.
It's
not, oh, well, we don't have to investigate then.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed to take their time. They needed to do it right. And I honestly believe that's exactly what they're going to do. Ms. Corey, she's obviously ethical. She's obviously, you know, a hardcore prosecutor. Let her do her job.
Exactly.
You've got a new chief of police. You've got the FBI involved. You got the Department of Justice. The President of the United States is paying attention. And frankly, we all are. If it
mm-hmm.
comes out that Zimmerman needs to go to jail, then he freaking needs to go to prison, period.
Absolutely.
End of story. And I don't think there's one community that's going to be pissed off about that.
Mm-hmm.
If it turns out, look, he stood his ground because this kid started kicking his ass, then we're going to have to accept that too. And then if there's something else we need to revisit, then we need to revisit. But I want to say something. The President of the United States and Mr. Zimmerman have something in common. They're both 50% white.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, dadgummit, we need to come together and stop going to the lowest common denominator.
I agree.
I don't know one person that is not heartsick over a 17-year-old kid that can't go to the store to get Skittles and iced tea. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Absolutely.
I'm sorry. And I also don't know anybody that says, you know what, if I'm afraid, I'm going to defend myself and my family and my loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are. So we need to have some honest conversation, like you've said, with a real moderator that says, here's what we're going to do, y'all. We're going to stop calling Zimmerman white because he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to stop calling Trayvon Martin a thug because he's not.
Right.
And we're going to look at this on a case-by-case situation where mm-hmm. the shooting is what's relevant.
Now, speaking of the shooting, we have a question here from our chat room. Mm-hmm. The gunshot that you hear on the tape, your professional opinion, did it sound like a contact or a close quarter shot from underneath? I know that's a really specific question. I don't know if you can even begin to answer that. But what did it sound like to you, Cheryl?
It sounded like they were close together.
And
but that could be 3 feet. That could be, you know, in other words, this isn't like TV. You're not going to be able to, I'm not anyway, going to be able to hear a gunshot over a 911 tape and tell whether it was touching skin or 3 feet away.
Right.
They were close together.
We're talking with Cheryl McCollum. We're talking about the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case. George Zimmerman charged with second-degree murder. What does that mean in Florida? Is that an automatic life sentence, or what is the...
Yeah, he can do 30 years easy, sure. Let me go back to the 911 tape for a second,
sure.
If I can. What's most telling about that to me is not... The sound, you know, as far as contact or whatever, the gunshot, but that the screaming stopped. Because, again, if it was George Zimmerman, in my opinion now, and he was screaming for help, and then he fired a shot, he should still want help.
He should still be screaming.
He should still be screaming, no, no, I can't believe this. Somebody, mm-hmm. somebody help me. Because just because you've got somebody that has stopped the threat or they're laying on the ground now, you still want this to stop.
You don't
still
be
want to
even more hysterical, I would think, after you shot somebody.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to freak out, and it stops immediately.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, though, again, this is where the fight's going to ensue when he's up for bail, is he didn't flee the scene, nor has he fled since.
Mm-hmm.
So he's clearly not a flight risk. He clearly didn't think he had done anything wrong. When the police asked him what happened, he flat said, I just shot this person.
Right.
So, I mean, it's going to be a battle, and we need to be patient. This isn't even going to be 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably not even going to go to trial until 14, and then you're going to have every single appeal. This is going to be a Supreme Court case, I'm telling you right now.
You think so, really?
Yep, I do.
Why is that?
Because you've got an argument on every single level.
Mm-hmm.
You have not just a stand your ground, that's just one. You have people patrolling neighborhoods. They're going to relook at that. They're going to relook at who can have, you know, when you have the right to bear arms and you have, you know, a concealed weapon, can you use a concealed weapon as a civilian doing a civilian patrol? I'm just telling you, it's going to be a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And then how can everybody say we have no probable cause, we have no probable cause, and then miraculously there's probable cause.
Right. All of a sudden, there's more probable cause than we know what to do with.
Right. Even though the police department said there wasn't. The chief said there wasn't, and then now suddenly there is. So they're going to fight, and it's going to be ugly.
When do you think this – when did you say you would think this would go to trial?
14.
In 2014?
Yeah.
Are you serious? Oh, my gosh.
If you're looking at a criminal docket in Orlando, Florida, yeah. That ain't going to be quick.
Oh, wow. Boy, it's going to be –
it's not going to be quick at all.
Several long, hot summers, unfortunately.
And it doesn't need to be quick. I'll be honest, what's the rush? Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be quick. It needs to be done right.
Right. Exactly. You're absolutely right. Now, Cheryl, did you hear where George Zimmerman apparently was sobbing in his cell,
sure.
wanting to talk to Trayvon's parents mm-hmm. and apologize? And I certainly understand that. I think that's absolutely believable, and I'm sure he was very sincere. But the question that came up about that was, why didn't he do it earlier when he could have? I mean, maybe there was a lawyer telling him not to. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, again, I don't know. I know he has been so desperate. He called Miss Corey. Then he was so desperate, he just showed up at her office. So, you know, again, I don't, you know, you've got two attorneys that have already come out and said they don't believe this man as well, that he has PTSD and he's got other mental issues.
Mm-hmm.
For a man to have called 911 over 50 times in 2 years, there's something going on with him.
Right.
I mean, do I think he's completely mentally sound? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-mm. To be so sure that somebody is doing something illegal and you have such authority to do something about it, that's not normal thinking.
Right.
Again, you couldn't get 10 people in your chat room that's called the 911 five times, much less 60
exactly.
altogether.
Exactly.
So,
I mean,
you know,
yeah.
clearly there's something going on with him. So.
And could that could be brought up as a possible defense again, couldn't it?
It will be brought up, Casey Anthony. Trust me, it'll be brought up.
No, God.
And I'm telling you, if you really want to turn this thing into a circus, watch and see if he brings in Jose Baez, second chair.
That's what just worries me. I just
sure.
have this fear that Jose Baez is going to come strutting in there. And once again, we have the big media circus. And that would be something he would love to do because it would be a big ego thing for him. You know,
sure.
the big ego thing.
Yep.
What did you think about his attorneys coming out and talking and talking and talking and not shutting up? Wasn't that just...
Probably one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my life.
Why?
I cannot believe that they would come out and talk about somebody's mental status, talk about where somebody was or where they weren't, talk about whether or not this person was suffering from PTSD, and then in the same breath say, oh, but we've never met with him.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty
I think
pretty
somebody
outrageous.
At the bar needs to have a conversation with him, because if that's not unethical, I don't know what is. And then you know, and what they did too, Tricia, they came out and said, we've lost contact with George, like he's on the run. Well, then that gets everybody else all upset, Trayvon's mom included. What do you mean you don't know where he's at? Like he's headed to, you know, Switzerland.
Right.
When the reality is they didn't freaking know where he was. And
yeah.
the man has gone nowhere. But let me say this, at that time, perfectly free to go wherever he wanted.
Exactly.
He hadn't been accused of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, whether it's the new Black Panther Party or... You know, Spike Lee, y'all need to stand down.
That's
because
it.
He's a free citizen. And if he makes bail, you know, he'll have conditions because bail's not a punishment. And clearly, what flight risk is he? He can't go anywhere.
That's right. Be best if he stayed in and not go by and go anywhere. We do have a question from the chat room. We're talking with Cheryl McCollum, and we have a question, and that question is, what about the immunity hearing? What can you tell us about that?
I don't know anything about the immunity hearing.
Okay, I didn't either. I was wondering what that question was. I was hoping you would know. So
nope, I hadn't heard about it. That doesn't mean there's not one. It just means I hadn't heard about it.
What is an immunity hearing?
Well, if you're going to be granted immunity, that means you may have something that you're guilty of. Let's say, for example, I was out on the street and I was selling drugs, and because I was out selling drugs, I saw what happened. But I want immunity from selling drugs so that I can tell you what I saw. So there may be somebody that's asking for that,
mm-hmm.
But I'm not aware of that. But again, I'm telling you, there is so much that the law enforcement side knows that we don't know. Again, we need to be patient. And, you know, as far as, you know, Ms. Fulton, I do have to just say, as a mother, I admire the way she has been able to carry herself for 7 weeks now, 8 weeks now, because, you know, it's real easy to get angry, and it's real easy to get bitter, and it would be real easy for me to tell everybody, heck yeah, riot, let's just start burning some shit down, because that's your baby. And she's actually done the opposite. She has said she does not want that.
Right.
That, you know, we need to be patient. And, you know, I admire her for what, you know, again, she's being thrust into this not.
Yes, exactly. I agree.
Oh, Lord.
She is amazing. I absolutely agree with
you. No, absolutely.
Tell us what the stand your ground law is. Isn't that basically, doesn't that offer you immunity basically for standing your ground if somebody is threatening you? How does that work in
Florida? Yeah, it basically means you are under no obligation to retreat. If somebody breaks into your house and says, okay, I'm here to rape your wife and kids, you can shoot them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go, well, okay, I can't stop you.
What if you're outside and you have a concealed weapon and somebody comes up to you and you kind of feel threatened because mm-hmm. they're asking you for spare change and they're in your face? Can mm-hmm. you shoot them?
No.
Okay.
You literally have to know that your life is in danger, mm-hmm. not I don't feel comfortable, I'm uneasy. You can't just be pulling guns out in elevators and church parking lots, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's not only at the home, now I'll be clear, you can stand your ground wherever you happen to be that you feel threatened or in danger. But again, you just don't have to retreat. You can protect yourself and your loved ones. And other states have it. Florida's getting kind of, you know, pelted right now about it. But frankly, I think it's a good law. And when used properly and used correctly, it's a way for people to protect themselves if they're, you know, 911's not right there, which 9 times out of 10, they're not going to be. So, you know, I'm all for it.
Well, that's the key. If it's used correctly,
sure.
I mean, in reality, it's a great law if it's used correctly.
Sure.
Yeah, you shouldn't
Absolutely.
Have to worry. If someone's,
no.
if someone's going to hurt you, you shouldn't have to
right.
worry about the law. You should be able to protect yourself and kill them.
Right.
Agree. And you should be able to assume that if someone breaks in your house, they're there to
mm-hmm.
harm you. You don't have
mm-hmm.
to say, well, gosh, they're just going to steal something so I can't hurt them. No. They're breaking in your house, you can blow them away. End of
right.
story. You know, and I don't think you'll get an argument from too many people about that. It's
mm-hmm.
just that it seems to open the door to maybe a more liberal way of shooting people. And I think that's what
right.
scares everybody.
There needs to obviously be a balance.
Mm-hmm.
I know here in Georgia, there's a town, Kennesaw. And Kennesaw passed a law, this was years and years ago, that every homeowner must own a gun. Well, that sends a pretty clear message to a would-be burglar.
Yes, it does. It does.
If they're home, they're armed. Well, obviously, burglaries went down considerably.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, hey, I don't know if they have a gun or not, but the law says they have to, so I'm not even going to risk it. So, I mean, there's just things that sometimes they sound so wacky, but yet they kind of end up working. There's parts of Texas where everybody has a firearm and everybody knows it. There's very little homicide because
mm-hmm.
of that. But, you know, again, I agree with you. We don't want to go the opposite and turn into the, you know, okay corral, everybody just shooting up the town every Friday night.
Exactly.
But, again, when it comes to your children or your loved ones or, frankly, your neighbors, if you walked out of your house and somebody's stabbing your neighbor in the front yard, you should be able to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can prove it because look what happened to Trayvon. Nobody even had the guts to come out of their house.
Right.
They were too afraid. Everybody's going to call 911 and they say, don't even look out the window. Duck down, duck down. Really? Somebody
yeah,
is screaming for help, literally, for their life, and not one person would even come outside with a baseball bat or anything else. And that's before anybody even knew a gun was involved.
I know.
So,
and that's,
I mean, I
that's
think if
scary.
More people, it is scary, but I think if more people had a firearm, felt comfortable with that firearm, somebody would at least open their front door and said, hey, y'all get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can do something. I mean, you like Tracy Thurman. You remember the Tracy Thurman story?
Yeah.
Her ex-husband
awful.
Stabbed her to death in the front yard. And how many people stood there and watched it because they did not
daylight.
Know what to do in broad daylight.
Broad daylight.
So that's what I'm saying. It's a good law. Somebody should have been able to help Tracy Thurman. Somebody should have been able to help whoever was the victim in this situation.
Mm-hmm. I
or at least make somebody stand down.
Yeah, make them stand. That's the thing. Make them stand down. And I don't
yeah.
think it would take a whole lot. Usually, if somebody, if you know,
no.
if you walk out and you say, hey, you know, we're all watching you, and the cops are on the way, and you know, usually that
right.
is enough to make them stop and run at the
and
very
see,
least.
Tricia, you just mentioned something that's going to be another argument. George Zimmerman knew the police were on the way because he called them. They
mm-hmm.
said, "We're on the way." He said, "Okay." So that's why a lot of people think he was trying to hold Trayvon there. And that's why if they were struggling, the gun could have gone off by accident. That's what I'm telling you. We're in for a pretty good fight.
We have a question from Kimster, our executive producer from the chat room. Kim, what is your question, my dear?
It is, it's for you, Tricia. It's from VL Pate. She wants to know, isn't it true that the news does not report self-defense cases in order not to promote vigilantism?
I have never heard that. I haven't. Let me think. I know she's asking me this for a reason, because there must be a case that we know about that I am forgetting. Let me think. Not that I am aware of. I mean, the news will report it because it's sensational. And now I've heard that charge before that, you know, you'll read, especially in perhaps some newsletter for people from the, I don't want to say the NRA, but say a pro-gun group that will say, you know, 5,000 people protected themselves this month and you didn't hear about it in the news. I've heard that, but I, as far as whenever I was in the news, we'd love to tell stories like that. Now, one thing that we did do was we didn't ever say the names. We've had a couple of cases here in Utah where a guy has killed somebody that was coming in their house. One of them was a young kid that was killed, but nobody's name was mentioned because they didn't want that person, you know, to be attacked in any way, shape, or form, because it was obviously self-defense. So, no, I think the news organizations will not ever take that into account. What they'll do is they'll use it to sensationalize a situation. And if there are cases that are going unreported, let's hear about them. I'd love to hear about them. You know, let's get the police blotter, which is usually public record, if I'm not mistaken, and find out if there are a bunch of self-defense cases going on all over the United States that aren't being reported. I think that'd be a great story in itself. Have you ever heard that, Cheryl?
I've never heard that. But, you know, I've always been told if it bleeds, it leads. So
right,
that's all I know.
If it that's exactly right. If it touches your heartstrings or your pocketbook, that's all they care about. And anything to do with bleeding touches your heart in some way or another. You know, it either gets you angry or hurt or whatever. So, Cheryl, I just don't even know what we're going to do. It's just going to be, I fear that it is going to drive such a wedge in our nation between people. I just hope we can remain calm. I'll tell you what, we'll remain calm as long as people from the outside who have the ability to garner a lot of media attention do
right.
so in a responsible manner. That's what infuriates me.
You know what? I'm going to follow Ms. Fulton's lead.
Yes.
And she's leading us beautifully.
She
is. as long as people turn to her and as long as she's given a voice, then I think we'll be fine. Because, again, I mean, I've heard a ton of people say, oh, there's going to be a riot. There's going to be a riot. I don't believe, and I'm going to say it again, that there is any group that can't accept the truth. But the truth has got to be, you know, presented in a way that it can be accepted. You don't just say, hey, there's not going to be an arrest and move on. That's my child. You've got to give me more. But just like Lynn before, you don't just say, well, we think it was an accident. Bye. Wait a minute.
Right.
So it's okay for him just to be laying out there? That's still not okay.
Exactly.
We still need to bring him home. Just like she said, let somebody make some arrangements. You know, maybe
right.
his son wants that motorcycle. Come on.
Exactly. You're exactly right,
So you don't
right,
just
Cheryl.
Say it and then we're done. Thanks for calling
right.
us.
Thanks for calling.
You know.
We did a little bit and now we're done. So, well, Cheryl,
no.
I wish you would run for president. I really do. I mean, you'd have my vote. And I think you'd have everybody's vote here. Cheryl,
oh,
we're
so going to
be calling on you a lot, I hope.
You
don't
call
mind.
Me anytime. You know I'm a huge fan of yours.
Well,
no
thank
doubt.
You. And if there's anything we can do, and I will get you in touch with Lynn Jones, if that's okay. I'll hook you guys
no,
up.
No, I've got a plan of action for her. I just, you know, I don't ever want to educate the wrong person. So
I understand.
I'd rather
yeah.
just talk to her, you know, offline a little bit, but yeah,
I will,
anytime you need me, you know where to find me.
I do. And thank you. And if there's anything that Web Sleuths or Forums for Justice can do, you know, we're right there with you, my dear. So don't hesitate to call us, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. Cheryl McCollum, a wonderful, incredible, awesome woman. And we adore her so much for all she does for victims of crime and for the truth. Because all we really want is the truth. That's all we're ever after. Kimster, my dear, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we have a very, very interesting Web Sleuth hot cold case. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yes, we do. This one is from our unidentified forum, and this is about an unidentified woman that was found in 1979, and she was discovered by a passing motorist in a Caledonia, New York cornfield on November 9, 1979. She was found about 20 feet from the south side of Route 20, about 1/2 mile from the intersection of Route 5. She was fully clothed, and there was no evidence that she had been sexually molested. Her pockets had been turned inside out, and that might have been to remove her identification. An examination of the girl's stomach contents turned up pieces of meat, corn, and potatoes. And a waitress from a small diner in Lima, New York, remembered seeing the girl the night before the murder, but she couldn't remember anything more. She died of 2 gunshot wounds, one to the back and one to the front of her head, and the coroner estimated that she was killed the previous night on November 8th. The girl was apparently shot by the road because there was a blood spot there that marked the spot, you know, on the earth there. Mm-hmm. And then she was dragged into the cornfield and then shot again. Can you believe that?
Oh, that's awful.
Police speculate that the murder weapon used was a .38 caliber handgun. Ballistics experts dug up a slug buried in the dirt underneath her. The slug was tested against literally hundreds of other bullets fired from guns seized by police over the years. The Livingston County police probes traced weapons to as far away as Canada, Europe, and Mexico, but they still haven't been able to match the slug to a murder weapon. Several truckers called in with information about a young girl who was traveling and catching rides where she could. One trucker swore he saw the girl the night before she was murdered trying to hitch a ride to Boston from a nearby truck stop. Police have followed up over 10,000 leads, and still haven't figured out who she is. There's even more information about her on Web Sleuths, Tricia. It is amazing how much information we have. We have a reconstruction picture. It's on the front page at www.websleuths.com right now. There's other ones, too. They have pictures of all the jewelry she was wearing. They have pictures of all of her clothes, everything. I mean, this case just seems so solvable. How could someone not know who this is? So it's a really good one for all of our Web Sleuthers to dig their teeth into and get the word out. And especially if you're in the New York area or the East Coast, let's find out who this woman is.
Yeah, it does seem like with all the kids, how many times have we had an identification with so much less than what we have with this woman? It's just the right person has not seen the evidence yet. And so it's up to us to get the word out. So, Kimster, thank you as always. A wonderful job. I do appreciate it, my dear. Next week, I'm sure we'll be talking about Trayvon again. We'll also have updates on other cases as well. Don't forget websleuths.com, forumsforjustice.org, where we always discuss true crime and current events, and we do so using so much common sense. Thank you, everybody, and good night.